Good morning, church. I want to welcome you to my garden today. If this is the first time you're joining us on Sunday Online, we'd like to welcome you to our services today and invite you to join us every Sunday for a message. Let us pray. Father, we just want to worship you. We want to adore you. We want to thank you. We want to praise you. We want to give you all the glory, all the honor, all the praise, all the worship, all the adoration that you rightfully deserve. Thank you, Jesus, that you came to this earth to die for us. And we just praise you and we worship you for that, Lord. And I just pray your blessing and your anointing over each and every one of my friends as they listen to this message. Holy Spirit, we welcome you in our midst. And we pray that you speak into our hearts. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. God bless you for joining us today. I have a new series, which I actually preached in a single sermon in its entirety many years ago, and I was talking about it and thinking about it in the week, and I just realized that many of us don't know what Jesus did for us. So today I want to talk about the corrugated Christian. Our reading today comes from Romans chapter 10 verse 9 to 13. It says, if you declare with your mouth that Jesus Christ is Lord and believe in your heart that God raised him from the dead, you will be saved. For it's with the heart you believe and with the mouth that you profess your faith and are saved. Saved from what? Saved from hell. As the scripture says, verse 11, anyone who believes in him will never be put to shame, for there is no difference between Jew and Gentile, and the same Lord is Lord of all and will richly bless all who call on him. And he has one of the greatest verses in the Bible. For everyone, verse 13, who calls on the name of Jesus will be saved without exception. If you call on him, he will save you. Now, I've been a Christian for many years and I've spent many hours studying the Word of God and learning it. And it's during these last few years that I started to join the dots together. I've studied theology and all those things, and it's great, but you know, unless you make the discoveries yourself, unless you join the dots yourself, the Bible will maybe not be as alive as it can be. So once I started to realize what the big picture was and to change my focus from many other things but onto the things that I had learned and start to apply what I was reading and learning, and especially how the scriptures were making more and more sense in my life when I applied them, I started to change. I started to see a new part of the Word of God. As I used to take Scripture as a faithful student, as any pastor should, we take it in context of the situation and assimilate all the other Scriptures on the topic so that we can form a whole of understanding. But I take it a bit further, and I believe for you to be biblically correct in any area, you need at least 2 to 3 or more scriptures are spoken on the same topic in context to make it a fact in your life. And in reality, when I first started taking my journey, you know, scriptures were like islands of little information. Yeah, there was a bit of scripture here, and there was a good scripture here, and there was, you know, but I never ever could put them together. But as I've grown more in the Word of God, and as I've spent more time with God, I've actually been able to assimilate these and put them together. I knew that Jesus Christ died for my sins. That I knew without a shadow of a doubt. And in fact, he died for you, and he died for the sin of the entire world. And Jesus' life here on earth was so that he could die for mankind. I knew God loved me and I loved him, and I accepted Jesus in May 1986. But somehow through traditions and other wrong beliefs, maybe you pick up wrong things. You know, maybe you go to a church where they put more emphasis on something and not on others. But through wrong beliefs of my own and wrong concepts, I had a wrong idea of what grace and mercy and so many other things that Jesus did for me actually meant. And mostly I was applying things maybe that weren't really true scripturally, and that really makes me sad, because I spent many years trying to get my hands around what in what Christianity was. And, you know, I found that I was like living the corrugated life. And the corrugated life is, you know, many Christians live a life like this. You know, you have these high points where Jesus is great and you're fantastic, and then you fall into sin or into temptation, and you do something that you shouldn't be doing, and now you're at the bottom and you don't feel saved, and because you don't understand. And that was the biggest problem I had. I never fully understood what Jesus Christ did for me. And so over the next week or two, I would like to explain that. And especially, you know, this week I'm just going to give you a background. And next week I'm going to talk a bit about the image that we have of ourselves. And then the week after that, I'm going to start to actually break down what Jesus actually did. Yes, he died for your sins, and yes, he paid the price for your sickness and disease, but he did so much more that we don't even realize. Things like justification and sanctification and mercy and grace, and I'll be explaining all those things, so please tune in. But the fact is that when Jesus died on the cross, and we've just been celebrating Passover right now, and Jesus, when he died on the cross, God poured out all the wrath that your and my sin deserves, and the sin of the entire humankind was poured out on Jesus Christ, and all of God's wrath was poured out on Jesus for our sin. And so God is not cross with us. If we come through Jesus Christ, God is not mad at us anymore. So I used to live this corrugated life, you know, one day up, one day down, and I always thought that my righteousness was based not on what the Word of God says, but on my ability to read my Bible, to pray, to go to church, and all these other great things, which are fantastic. But your salvation doesn't depend on them. You know, I'm not justified through Martin that I have peace. I'm justified through Christ that I have peace. So whenever I did something wrong, as I said before, I felt condemned and not welcomed in God's presence. And I knew I was going to heaven, but somehow, you know, I just didn't feel right, you know. And then when I started to do more of the things of God, I started to feel better as a Christian and feel more spiritual. But it, you know, the truth is that I never, ever, it never changed. You know, I was always saved. I was always forgiven of my sins. And it was nothing that I did. It was all that He did for me. So slowly through reading the Word of God and letting the Word of God soak in me and just starting to do what the Word of God says, I started to learn that Jesus did a lot more on the cross of Calvary than just pay for my sin and pay for my sickness and my healing, which is all great already. But Jesus did so much more. You know, there are words we find in the Bible, like, again, like justification, sanctification, that we don't understand. And we don't realize what Jesus did for us on the cross. Yes, he died for us, for our sins, and yes, he died for our sickness. But there are so many more words that we see in the scriptures that tell us so much more of what he did for us. And so I hope to show you in this message that you don't have to live a corrugated life. You don't have to live an up-down life, but that you can live a constant life in Jesus. There's really nothing that you need to do. You know, Romans 10 verse 9 tells us what to do. If you declare with your mouth, this mouth, that Jesus Christ is Lord, and you believe in this heart, your own heart, that God raised him from the dead, the Bible says in Romans 10 verse 9, you are saved. So to be saved, you have to confess with your mouth that Jesus Christ is Lord. You have to believe in your heart that God raised him from the dead. And you have to put your faith in this word that you have eternal life. You see, it's not like something happens. You know, now you're Christian. No, it's, you know, a poof of smoke or a bomb or whatever goes off. No, you don't really feel much different, you know. Yes, when I was born again, you know, the sky was blue and the grass was green, and we're in winter now, so the grass is a bit dying a bit, and the garden as well, but everything was different. But it wasn't like, you know, I'm now a Christian, I'm, you know, no, it was totally different. But eventually I got before God and I said, God, you need to show me what's right and what's wrong, and you need to show me how I can live this constant life, because I read it all in the Bible. I mean, Paul didn't live a life up and down. He had issues. He even talks about that he had the thorn in his flesh, but he wasn't up and down. He was straight. If you look at all the disciples, they lived a life that was straight. Yes, Peter denied Jesus and had a bit of a downtime, but when he was sorted out, he was he lived a constant life for the rest of his life, never doubting in a second. And so I started to switch from this head knowledge and allow the word of God to go from here to here. It's only about 30 centimeters. It had a drop from being head knowledge to becoming heart knowledge. And then when I started to allow God to minister me and allow the stuff to become part of my heart, of my and fiber and my being, and it allowed him to minister me through other pastors' sermons and through other messages, when I started to do all of that, I started to find it was something different. I purposely took my mind off my mind, my will and my emotions, and I put them aside. I said something like this: shut up, head, I'm being led. And I decided to put my faith in God's word, not in my opinion or any other one's opinion, but in the word of God. What does the word of God says? And the word of God says in John 8 verse 32 that you will know the truth, and that truth will set us free. So what is that truth? That truth is that Jesus Christ came to this earth to die on the cross for us. So, and so as I started to apply that in my life, the word of God started to slowly make sense. And I started to join scriptures and pieces of the puzzle into one another. And I started to understand more and more that became absolutely convinced that God is not mad at me. God is not cross at me. God doesn't want bad things for me. He only sees me through a lens, which is Jesus Christ. And when he looks through the lens of Jesus Christ and what Jesus did on the cross of Calvary, I am seen as perfect and whole. And not that I don't have sin, I still am a sinner and I still sin and I still need to repent. But God sees me through the death that Jesus paid for my sin as though I have never sinned. And so the truth is that God is not mad at you, and he's never been mad at anyone, and he's not cross at you. He's cross and mad with sin, and that's why the cross of Calvary was such an ugly place. I mean, it was full of blood and pain and agony and sweat and tears, and it wasn't a nice place. But why? Because God poured out the wrath of all our sin, of the entire human race. That's why it got dark on the cross of Calvary. It wasn't that God made it dark. That was all our sin going to be placed on Jesus Christ. And so that Jesus Christ was able to reconcile me and you and all of mankind to God through his death on Calvary. And that's exactly what 2 Corinthians 5:18 says. All this is from God, who has reconciled us to himself, to God, through Jesus Christ. Through what? Through the death of Jesus Christ on the cross, and gave you and me the ministry of reconciliation. So in other words, God reconciled you and me first through Jesus, and then he wants us to reconcile other people to him through Jesus. So that's what we've got to do. It's an amazing work of grace. You know, we can't boast. It's just mercy and grace, and none of us deserve it. I don't deserve it. I'm not good enough, beautiful enough, handsome enough, rich enough, whatever enough to deserve it. But because I chose Jesus Christ and his sacrifice, God chose to take Jesus and sacrifice Jesus, the perfect man, on the cross of Calvary to pay a full price for sin, and therefore removing the issue of sin from anyone who calls on the name of the Lord. And my prayer is for you that when I finish the sessions, you too will be convinced in your heart that God is not cross with you. He's not causing things to happen in your life because he's punishing you. He's punished Jesus already. God loves you, and God wants you to be his child. So stop living this corrugated life, because Jesus didn't die for you to live a corrugated life. He lived, he didn't die for you to live under your circumstances, but he lived for you to live far above your circumstances. That's why it's called the supernatural life, because it's above the natural, normal life. You know, we might face the same issues as other people, but we deal with them differently. You know, that's how the saints of old could go to the cross of Calvary and burn on a stake, praising and worshiping God. Can you imagine that? That's incredible. Why? Because of this fact that Jesus died And because he died, our sins are removed and we have peace with God, and God has dealt with our sin. And as I said before, that is why we celebrate the Passover, and we celebrate it every year. And I hope that you really took the time. Yes, the world calls it Easter, and that's to do with the goddess of fertility. But I believe in the Passover because God has passed over my sin by looking at the blood of the Lamb, which is Jesus Christ, which is painted over my heart. And therefore, I am set free of sin. Do you know that Jesus is called Emmanuel in Matthew chapter 1, verse 23? It says, the virgin will conceive and give birth to a son, and they will call him Emmanuel. And Emmanuel means God with us, the perfect man who came to live a complete and perfect life on earth and face all the temptations, all the issues we face, all the lust of the flesh, all the lust of the eyes, all the lusts that you can even imagine. And yet he remained without sin his entire life so that he could be the ultimate lamb that could take away the sins of the world, and he could destroy the head of the serpent, as we spoke about a couple of weeks ago from Genesis 3 verse 15. And John the Baptist, when he saw Jesus walking to him towards him to be baptized in John chapter 1 verse 21, he says, the next day John saw Jesus coming towards him and said, look, the Lamb of God who takes away the sin of the world. So everyone, past, present and future, Jesus Christ paid the price. And that's why it's called the gospel. The gospel means good news. And John 3:16, 17 and 18. For God so loved the world that he gave his only son, that whosoever believes in him shall not perish but have eternal life. For God did not send his son into the world to condemn the world, but to save the world through him. And whoever believes in him, Jesus, is not condemned, but whoever does not believe stands condemned already, because they have not believed in the name of God's one and only Son. The good news is that God so loved you and me and everyone else in this world, everyone that ever has lived, ever will live, and ever is living, God loved us so much that he gave his own Son, Jesus Christ, who came to this earth to live the perfect life so that he could become the perfect sacrifice, the perfect lamb. His blood could be the perfect atoning sacrifice to pay the price for the sin of the entire human race. And if anyone, whosoever, anyone, and you and I, or whosoever, would believe in who? In Jesus. Jesus Christ will have their sins removed or accounted for. And my question to you today is, what will you do with Jesus Christ? Now, it's great to know that he died on the cross for your and my sins and the sins of the entire world. But unless you accept him, it means nothing. After hearing what he did for you personally and also what he did for the entire human race, what will you do with Jesus Christ? You see, you either accept Jesus or you reject him. There is no other answer to this question. You can't say, I think I'll do it when I'm older. No. Wanting to accept Jesus Christ is as good as rejecting him. You either accept him or reject him. You're either hot for him or you're cold for him. There is no middle ground. There's no sitting on the fence. If you accept him as your Savior, then your sins are accounted for. And the Bible says that our name is written in the Lamb's Book of Life. If you do not accept him, or you want to accept him but never do, or you think it's a good idea to accept him, or whatever else, your name is not written in the Lamb's Book of Life. And when you die, this happens. You will stand before the judgment seat of Christ. Hebrews says to us that it's appointed for man to die once, and then the judgment. Hebrews 12. So you're going to die and you're going to stand in a judgment. And the judgment is, did you accept Jesus or did you reject him? And you say, no, I accepted Jesus. Then they're going to look in the Lamb's Book of Life. And if your name is found, great, you're going to heaven. If your name is not found in the Lamb's Book of Life, you're going to a place of pain and suffering, which is what we call hell. Hebrews 2 verse 3 says it this way. How shall we escape? Escape what? Escape hell. if we ignore such a great salvation. What great salvation? The death and resurrection of Jesus Christ. Romans 10 verse 9, 10, 11, 12 and 13. This salvation, which was first announced by the Lord, was confirmed to us by those who heard him. The writer of the Hebrews says that we cannot escape hell if we ignore this great salvation of Jesus Christ. And Jesus clearly said in John 14 verse 6, it's not me speaking, not some other pastor or whatever. Jesus answered, I, Jesus, am the way, the truth, and the life, and no one comes to the Father except by me. It just says, I am the way, the truth, and life. I just put I, Jesus. There is no other way to have eternal life. There's no other way to get to heaven. There's no other way to escape the death and destruction of hell except through Jesus Christ. And if you want to accept Jesus, I'm going to pray a prayer now, and you can pray the prayer after me. Let us pray. Father God, I thank you for sending Jesus. I thank you that my sins are paid for through the death and resurrection of Jesus Christ. I now accept Jesus as my personal Savior. I declare with my mouth that Jesus Christ is Lord. Say, Jesus, I believe that you are Lord. Jesus Christ is Lord. And I believe in my heart that God raised Jesus from the dead. And so I'm saved. I'm born again. Romans 10:13 says that all who call on the name of the Lord will be saved. And so I call on you, Jesus, to save me. I'm born again. I'm your child, and you are my king. Amen. If you've done that, please contact me. You'll find my email on the end of this video. I also have a link to a booklet that you can download for free. You can distribute it. You can do what you want. It will explain to you about a new believer's questions and answers that you might have of what you've done. Let us close in prayer. Father, we want to thank you for the sermon. We want to thank you, Jesus, that you died on the cross for us. And we thank you and we accept you as our Lord and as our Savior. I pray for my friends as they go through this week. Pray your blessing, your anointing, your favor, your supernatural provision over our lives. In the mighty name of Jesus, we pray. Amen. God bless you. Have a wonderful week. And please join us next week. We are going to talk about the image. Small letter image, your and my image, of ourselves and of God. God bless and goodbye.